Welcome to Revealing Jesus. Are you hungry to learn more about our beautiful Savior Jesus? I am your host, Christina Pereira, lover of Jesus, apostolic leader, licensed and ordained minister, author, podcaster, and kingdom party planner. Did you know that the Bible declares that grace and peace are multiplied to us in the knowledge of Jesus? And that simply means the more we learn about our beautiful Savior, the more we will experience all He died to give us. Join me for all things the King and His Kingdom, including revelatory teaching, interviews with fivefold ministers, media leaders, authors, and more. Come discover the beauty of God displayed all across the body of Christ. Together, we are revealing more of Jesus to a hurting world today.
Children only know and only learn what their parents teach them and what they see their parents living out.
Yeah.
And it just is natural for them to know from a very early age that our family does life like this. And other people, their family does life like that.
But before we get started, I want to give a quick shout out to our Christina Pereira Ministry sponsors who help support the mission to unite the body of Christ and fulfill the Great Commission with love. A big shout out to Gopher Ministries, who provides all of our equipment for our gospel events. Davis Financial Services, who does all of our financial accounting. Harvest Family Network, through which I am licensed and ordained. And Life Changing Productions, who helps put together evangelistic events to reach our city for Jesus. If you or your organization are interested in becoming a CPM sponsor, you can find out more information on our website at christinapereira.org. Do you have a loved one special occasion coming up and don't know what to get them? Well, now you can sponsor an episode of Revealing Jesus in their name. And you can give them a special dedication message read on air. It makes a great gift. To find out more information, just go to christinapereira.org/podcast.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of Revealing Jesus with Christina Pereira. I am your host, Christina, and I'm so excited to have you with me here today. I hope and I pray that you are doing well right where you are and enjoying the continuously flowing favor of grace pouring from our beautiful Savior and Father in heaven. I've got a great show for you today. I have an amazing leader in the body of Christ with me today. She is the host of the hit podcast, Raising Christian Kids, and she is also an award-winning Christian author of the animated TV series, Sea Kids, and she is the author of the new book, Raising Kids to Follow Christ, Instilling a Lifelong Trust in God. I have with me here today, Leanne Mancini. Leanne, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Christina. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I'm so excited to have you with me. Thank you for your book and your heart to help raise up the next generation for Jesus. We know that the situation out there isn't easy right now. And I'm going to have you share some statistics on that and why our listeners need to be paying attention to this. But before we get started, since it's Revealing Jesus, I have to ask you how you met our beautiful Savior Jesus.
You know, a lot of people will say, hey, I remember the day that I accepted him in my heart and I met him and I got to know him. But I've known him my whole life since I was a little girl. My mother had a huge picture of Jesus in our living room. We all had little pictures, but Jesus had a big picture in our living room. And she always said, we need to pray to Jesus. Jesus is the most important person in our life. So since I was a little girl, I loved him. I knew him. I honored him. I prayed to him. And he's always been in my heart. And he has protected me and loved me and guided me all through my life. So that's how I know Jesus.
Amen. I love that. Well, I love that you actually talked about this in your book, too, that you liked going into Christian homes where you see scriptures on the wall and things on the wall. And I think it's really important that we don't underestimate the power of just having a simple picture on the wall, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, children, what they see is impressed upon their minds from a very early age. So pictures of Jesus on the wall or biblical sayings in their bedrooms, make sure it's more Destinyland, not Disneyland. All these things are important.
I love that. I've never heard that before. That's awesome. Yes, I totally agree. I think it's so important for adults too. As soon as you said that, the Lord brought that scripture up on my heart. Without vision, the people perish. And in scripture, there's this beautiful story where they wanted a certain type of lamb, spots and speckled lambs. And when we keep that vision in front of us, that's what we'll reproduce.
Yes.
And so it's so interesting. So adults and children are very much alike. And I always tell people this, whether you're 8 or 80, you're still a child in the eyes of God. And Jesus is so passionate about these little ones because they are so precious in his eyes. They have this potential for this great and wonderful childlike faith. And I'm so thankful for the people who poured into me when I was a child, who spoke things to me that shaped how I saw God and what I knew was possible in the kingdom. And so we as parents, we are the most important parts of that. And I'm so thankful that you're writing this book. Go ahead and share some statistics. You shared some alarming statistics in your book. Can you share some of those with our audience?
Absolutely. Let me just say, about 5 years ago, I read some statistics that 40% of children in middle school and 65% of college students and high school in between that 40 to 65 were walking away from their faith. And I was so alarmed. I was like, Lord, what is happening? What can we do? I mean, my children are grown, but I love to research and I love to teach. Mm-hmm. So I started researching what was happening and condensing this information. Then I started a podcast because I had to share the information. Then I had to put it in a book. You know, I felt the Lord calling me to do this. I never planned on having a podcast or writing a book. But, you know, I have to be faithful to the calling, and he equips those he calls.
Right.
Well, now let's talk about recent statistics. Mm-hmm. George Barna wrote Raising Spiritual Champions. So the Barna Research Group and his organization working with, the Arizona Christian University, found that, now these are children 13 to 14 years of age from Christian homes. These are the statistics. 70% don't believe Satan exists, that he's real. 84% don't believe we're born into sin and need salvation.
Mm.
And 90% don't believe in absolute moral truth. And then there were statistics for the parents. Only 2% of parents have a true biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the Christian pastors, which after I read these, I just literally cried. I was so sad. 53% of our Christian pastors who are teaching our children believe in reincarnation, that's a possibility.
Mm.
56% don't believe in absolute moral truth. And 50% believe that Jesus possibly sinned while he was on earth. His human form.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's what we're facing today. Mm. And I believe that's why we find ourselves living in a world we're living in today, because the church is failing. There's no strong, true Christians in the four pillars of society: government, academia, the media, and church.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, of all those statistics that you shared, the 2% that have a true biblical worldview, to me, it was all concerning, especially the fact that some thought that Jesus sinned, because the Bible is very clear about that. In him was no sin. He knew no sin and he did no sin. And so that's concerning, but the biblical worldview of the parents to me is the most concerning. You know, when I was praying with the Lord and just asking about questions to talk about today, one of the biggest things he brought up to me was, we can't talk about raising kids until we talk about raising the parents. And so I feel like that is the absolute truth, because the Bible often depicts this image of a tree that bears fruit. You know, a good tree can't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bear good fruit. And so even in the world, people have this idea, you've heard the phrase, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? Everybody's heard that. But the truth is that whatever we are living as parents, that's what our children are picking up on and emulating. And so if we don't have a true biblical worldview, and if we're not living examples of Christ, how can we raise the next generation? It's absolutely impossible.
You know, it's so important. I just want to say that when I was writing this book, I kept hearing the Spirit telling me, you're teaching the parents.
Yeah.
Teaching the parents, you're educating not only parents, but parents, grandparents, ministry leaders. I'm teaching the adults because, like you said, you cannot give what you don't possess. You cannot teach what you don't know. And we're called to make disciples.
Absolutely. And I think there's been a real breakdown in discipling generations. You know, I grew up in a Baptist church and they had a love for the Word of God, and I'm so thankful for that. But it took many years and facing a crisis situation until somebody introduced me to the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm so thankful for that. That's a huge piece. I think in the past, the American church has been really great on religion and not very great on relationship with Jesus. And, you know, Jesus makes that very clear. He speaks very sternly and harshly to the Pharisees of his day. And he says, "You hypocrite. You wash the outside when the inside itself is not clean." And so it's important that we are really living in a relationship with Jesus, because how can we show our kids what it's like to live in a relationship with Jesus if we ourselves are not? So let's talk about some ways we can start teaching our children biblical principles and a worldview from a young age.
Oh, yes. Their worldview starts to formulate around 15 months of age. And this, again, is from Barna Statistics and the research they've done from the experts. And it makes sense, because if you think about a child just over a year old, they really start seeing who they can trust. And they start observing their world, and language starts to formulate and feelings start to formulate. So that's when their worldview starts to formulate. And by the time they're 13, that worldview is pretty much solidified at the age of 13. And so how do we teach our children to have a biblical worldview that will last a lifetime? Organically, day by day. You live as if Jesus is standing right next to you in that kitchen.
Amen.
You know, God's word says that we're to teach our children even when they're in the womb. Psalm 78 says, "Teach even to the children yet to be born." And Psalm 51:6 says, "Yet you desired faithfulness in the womb, you taught me wisdom in that secret place." Well, what does that mean? Well, at 18 weeks of pregnancy, a baby can hear. Sing songs about Jesus. Volunteer at a Christian daycare center where they hear the children laughing and singing songs about Jesus. And then from there, you start using biblical words when they're little, because the experts say we never know when a child grasps a biblical concept. So how do you do that? Well, when they're a toddler, instead of saying, "Let's take a nap," say, "Let's take a Sabbath's rest." Now, they don't understand the true meaning of Sabbath, but they know it has something to do with rest and Jesus, because you say a little prayer. Between the ages of 4 to 7, when you're planting seeds of what the true meaning of Sabbath is, you're planting seeds into rich soil to grow deep roots. Because what you're doing at that young age is you're building a vocabulary and a category in their mind about Sabbath. And there's just so much we can do. And this is how you shape their worldview. By the time a child is 5 years old, 90% of their brain is fully developed. That's why a child can know two languages when they're little, and they know empathy and sympathy. They understand what is real, what is not real, what's the meaning of true, and what is the meaning of not true. And so these are the most important times where you build that foundation. And again, you do it with the Holy Spirit guiding you. And you look for opportunities, day-to-day opportunities, to invest the Word of God into their minds, especially outside in nature. That's the best way to teach absolute truth, is looking at nature. You know, the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west, and that's absolutely true.
I love that. And I love that you said you use everyday life. You know, life has this way of presenting opportunities, and we can take those little opportunities to teach our children. You know, I do that with my daughter on a daily basis. We talk about how there's people of the world, and we talk about how we are children of God. We talk about how they do things that necessarily we don't do. And because that's not who we are as children of God. And oftentimes I will tie that into our identity. And so I think it's so powerful when she sees, okay, mommy's doing this, daddy's doing this, I want to do this. And we start creating like this family identity.
Yes.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
That is so important. I have Holy Spirit goosebumps. I am so happy to hear you say that, because that's what's important. Children only know and only learn what their parents teach them and what they see their parents living out.
Yeah.
And it just is natural for them to know from a very early age that our family does life like this. Mm-hmm. And other people, their family does life like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you think about even families who have different ethnicity. You can say, well, they are Spanish, so they celebrate life like this. We are English and we celebrate life like this, or we're Italian. It's the same principle.
Yeah.
But we say we are Christian. And you know, there's really only two worldviews and two religions. There's God's worldview and the religion that we believe in Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then there's man's worldview and his religion, which is all these other religions. So when you start early, letting your children hear you live out biblical principles and know God's word and pray to him, even set an alarm 3 times a day to pray to him, you know, if you forget. There's just so much you can do in the home organically, lovingly, to transform your child's hearts and mind to love and adore Jesus.
I love that. You know, often I think about that scripture that says, as you go, it's always as you go. And a lot of times when the Lord uses us to evangelize out in the world, it's always as you go. So as you go to the grocery store, as you go on your walk down the street and you pass your neighbor, as you go about your home and your daily business, as you pick up your child. And so I love it when these things happen organically and they're not forced. You know, I think every opportunity to get the word of God into a child's mind is fantastic. But when we sit there and we force them to write out scriptures, I don't think that that's productive. I'm so glad you're taking your
time. Not at all. No.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, you know, Christina, so people like to quote the Proverbs 20 or 22. I'm drawing a blank right now. Proverbs, train them up in the way they should go and they shall not depart from it. Okay. Yeah. That's not a promise. That is not a promise. But you know what God's word says in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4-9? When you rise up, when you walk along the path, when you lie down, impress these biblical principles. Impress means to mark, to mold, and impress them on their hearts. And you do that like you just said. I love it. When you get up in the morning, praise Jesus. Look for opportunities to praise him, to give thanks to him. Yeah. You know, I tell parents, make a little placemat. Your children are at the table. Make a placemat where you just have pictures of Jesus and pictures of God. And when they learn that placemat, throw it away, make another one. Mm-hmm. And now use biblical words, sin, salvation, redemption, and then use Bible verses. Mm-hmm. There's just so much we can do. And I also like, I mean, my head is flooded with all these ideas coming in. I don't know which one to tell you, but I love this one. I think it's so important. When your children are learning Bible verses, like you said, just don't memorize them or write them.
Yeah.
Make sure the child understands every word in that verse and what it means. You know, what does every word mean? I put an example in the book about the little girl who says, and let us forgive those who put trash in our baskets.
Yes, I read that.
I mean, they need to know every word in that Bible verse and what it means. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to honor your father and mother?
Mm-hmm. Are you a new believer in Jesus and don't know where to start? First, let me say, welcome to the family of God. It's so important to anchor yourself in the gospel and the finished work of Jesus.
This powerful workbook includes foundational gospel truths to anchor your heart in new covenant reality, and interactive journaling prompts to begin your relationship with Jesus. This workbook includes teaching based on the Word of God. It will help you understand precisely why you need a Savior, what Jesus has done for you, your new creation life in Him, and how to have a relationship with Him. Journal through the pages to dive deep into the heart of God for you as His child and increase your faith as you learn about our beautiful Savior. Be sure to pick up a copy of New Believer Workbook, Foundational Gospel Truths to Begin Your Relationship with Christ Jesus today. Links in the show notes, or you can pick up a copy at Amazon or ChristinaPereira.org/store.
That's so good. The Lord is just bringing this up on my heart right now. So, you know, oftentimes we see Jesus teaching his disciples in settings around the table. And for me and my family, when we sit down to dinner at night, that is a special time. There's no electronics. There's no toys at the table. Oftentimes there's worship music playing. We take communion together. And a lot of times we'll play simple games, like we'll play the thankful game. And so we'll just go around the table and say what we're thankful for. And it's so easy. You know, Jesus often made disciples around tables. And we as families can do that as well. And it doesn't need to be complicated. And I love that God has so woven himself into our everyday life, because he is every day a part of what we're living. You know, he's in us. He's with us. He's in the bread that we're breaking. He's in the cup that we're taking communion. He's in the conversation of giving thanks to God. He's in all of it.
Yes. You know, you said that and it brought me back to a part of the book where I talk about sacred play. Mm. You know, he's to be in everything we do, as you say, when we eat, when we break bread, when we go outside and play, look for opportunities. But if you go into your child's room or their playroom, and like I said, is it Destinyland or Disneyland? Make sure your playroom reflects the love of Christ and what you're trying to instill in them. So maybe you have a section with biblical Legos. You can buy biblical Legos, fruits of the Spirit, place for them to play with fruits of the Spirit puzzles. Then you have another section where they read their little Christian children's books. And then you have a dress-up area where they dress up as Noah or Jesus or Mary or whoever, the costumes that you can buy. Then have a little area where they, instead of tea party, let's have communion in church, mm-hmm. where they practice breaking of the bread mm-hmm. and play with your children. Mm-hmm. You know, my niece came one time to visit me and she said, I'm having a hard time. She had a 2.5-year-old and a 6-month-old.
That's rough.
And she said, I really would like to go. That was me too. Mine were 2 years apart.
Oh.
And she said, I really would like to go back to work. You know, we could use the extra money and I miss working, but I'm not sure if I should do that. And so I took her hand and I took her over to a portrait of my children hanging on the wall when they were little. And I said, Beth, see these two little beautiful faces? Do you know where they are? I haven't seen them in such a long time. I would give anything to have them sit on my lap and to hold their little hands and to feel their kisses on my cheeks again. I said, Beth, it goes by so fast. Forget the dirty dishes. Forget the laundry that's waiting, that's piling up. Forget going back to work if you don't have to, and stay home, because this is your most important job and this is the most rewarding job, and you never get to capture that again. By the time they're 10 or 12, they're little adults, mini adults. They're not babies anymore. And she knew exactly what I was saying.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear you say that, you know, and I just told my husband this last night. I started the ministry, the Lord had me start the ministry when Isabella was 2.5. And I think I've worked part-time at it at best. It's not even some days. Although it's gotten more as she's gotten older. And I told the Lord, I said, I don't want to miss all of that. Because I can't get it back. You know, and I'm so thankful. He's so good. He honors that. And even for those of us out there with callings on our lives, he honors that. He knows that. And he cares about what's important to our heart. And so I'm so thankful to hear you say that, because it's definitely harder to teach them by the wayside when we're not there. And I know some moms have to go back to work. And honestly, I would truly love to see more support for our moms out there raising the next generation. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but it is truly a calling to be a mom. It's important. It's not, you know, as a stay-at-home mom or a homemaker or a wife, or it's not something to be despised or cast down or cast out. It's an honorable thing. And the Bible makes that really clear.
Yeah, it's the most honorable job.
Yeah.
I was raised by a single mom.
Yeah.
My mom worked all the time, but yeah. She still lived out the love of Christ in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what impressed upon my mind and my heart to know and love God.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to support single moms.
Oh,
we
yeah.
need to support working moms.
Yep.
It's just so important. In my presentation that I have, a PowerPoint presentation speaking to groups, I like to say, okay, people say, well, you know, I'm a air pilot for a big major airline, or I'm an attorney, mm-hmm. or what do you call those controllers in the airports?
Air traffic
control. Yeah. And those are all important jobs, or doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I say to the moms, you look at them and you say, oh, that's nothing. I'm a parent of a 2-year-old.
Amen.
Or I'm a parent of a teenager. You want to talk about a hard job? You want to talk about a job that's most important? It's yeah. being a parent or a grandparent.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I truly feel like if we are to raise up spiritual giants for the next generation, I really think it starts with how we as women are viewing these things. Men as husbands are viewing these things.
Yes.
Even, you know, our government, you're from the United States, I'm from the United States, how we are viewing and honoring and valuing the family. And it always surprises to me. It's always a surprise to me when people are shocked by the way things are breaking down. And I'm like, well, if we've moved away from some of these values and what we hold dearest, I'm not surprised. You know?
Right.
It's, yeah. But it's going to take courageous women like you and me and courageous men standing up and saying, this is how we live for God. This is what we do. And I'm excited for that. I have hope. We talked about this earlier. I have hope, you know, for where the church is going. There's so many men and women right now. God is raising up so many voices right now to testify and proclaim the goodness of God and the truth and to move in power with the Lord. And so I have hope. I really do.
Yes. Me too. I really do. There's so much we can do. And again, well, the example I like to share is, I don't know if you remember Rosie Riveter from World War II. Rosie Riveter was a call for the parents. A lot of them were women, were moms at home, mm-hmm. stay-at-home moms, because mm-hmm. back then, most of them were stay-at-home moms. World War II needed to be won, but we needed to roll up our sleeves and get into the factories and to build ammunition, artillery, tanks, guns, whatever it was. And these women did. They rolled up their sleeves. They got to work. And World War II was won because of what these, what they called Rosie Riveters, had done. And I say, we are called for such a time as this, like Esther was called during her time, and like Rosie Riveter was called during her time, to roll up our sleeves and to get into the battle, engage in the battle, and to make sure we're doing all we can to raise our children. It's about their salvation and about the preservation of Christianity. And we can do it because God gives us everything we need. And we can do it lovingly. And we can do it in a fun way. And that's what my book's about. It has so many suggestions and fun ideas for parents to incorporate. You know, I have 2 chapters just really about disciplining, because we have to be able to discipline our children well so that they can learn. We need apologetics. There's a chapter on apologetics. How do we defend our faith, and how can we teach our children to defend their faith?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just so important. So, so, so important. And again, as we talked earlier, I don't make a penny on my author proceeds or with my Sea Kids or with my Scripture Bear. All those are donated to our nonprofit, which gives these resources to families that are not able, you know, cannot afford to buy them. So this is a mission that we're all on
that.
Together.
I love that. I know you shared that with me earlier and I was like, oh, you need to share that. That's awesome. You know, I think it's so important. I think we as the body of Christ, I think one of the biggest things on Jesus's heart right now is coming together as the body of Christ and supporting one another, honoring one another, honoring one another's walk and where we're at, and truly being the church, because together we are unstoppable. And so, you know, the enemy has worked very hard to create division. And I just kind of chuckle to myself. The Lord had me start the ministry at probably one of the worst times, preaching on unity, preaching on honor, preaching on coming together. And I'm like, Lord, you are so funny.
He does have a sense of humor, Christina. He really does.
Well, and it's just amazing to me because, you know, he's fully confident in his ability to accomplish that which he wants to see. And it's so encouraging to me coming off of this last period of just turmoil and division and all of the strife that we saw to see God raising more voices like mine. And so when we honor, when we come together, when we support, when we give to those in need, when we build one another up, we are truly unstoppable.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been so good. Is there anything burning on your heart you'd like to say directly to our listeners today? And if you would, before we go, would you pray for them?
Absolutely. I really want to say that if you read my book or any parenting book, and you say, hey, oh gosh, I feel so guilty. I haven't been doing that. I should have been doing this. Please don't go down that road. There's no parenting guilt. I like to call us parenting practitioners, just like an attorney is a practicing attorney. We're practicing parents. We continually are learning how to hone in on our skills to be better parents. And the devil would love you to hang on to guilt because that will hold you back from going forward. So get rid of any guilt. And just pray, and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and to direct you and to open up doors of opportunity to learn and to grow and just to love your children, love them well. And I will definitely like to pray over everybody who's listening at this moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you as always, bowing our heads, lifting up our hearts to you. We ask your Holy Spirit to fill us completely and totally. Let all our words, actions, and deeds, everything we do and say, and every choice we make, be all of you and none of us. We ask that you will just protect these parents, these grandparents, and these ministry leaders. Protect them as they teach this next generation, Lord. You called us to make disciples. So we ask you to equip us. We ask you to silence the voice of the enemy trying to confuse us and trying to take us down the wrong path. We ask that your Holy Spirit will be our compass and our guidance, and that you will lead us day by day, dear Lord, in everything we do and everything we say. And we ask for protection for our little ones, for our families, for our fathers who are to be the leaders of the home, for the mothers who are out there doing this on their own. Oh, dear Lord, please help our families, because we know that the family of God is the most important family, most important mission on this earth. We thank you. We adore you. We pray for our pastors and our leaders in the church. Bring us back, dear Lord. Let this new year be full of revival. Please, dear Lord, we love you, we beg you, we honor you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, we claim all things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here with me today. I'm excited. I believe this is going to help a lot of parents out there. And I just want to say this really quick. You know, when you were talking about there being no condemnation, there's a lot of parents out there who are breaking generational traumas and curses and things like that. And I just want to say that it's probably going to be messy. And that's okay.
And it's hurtful.
Yeah. Yeah. But Jesus is with you. You know, I tell my daughter this all the time. She says things like, it's too hard. And I say, you're anointed to do hard things. And that's the truth.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Christina.
Well, I hope and I pray today's episode has blessed you. I will have links from today's podcast and resources in the show notes. Wherever you get your podcasts, under Revealing Jesus with Christina Pereira, there you'll find additional resources to connect with us and our special guest, Leanne Mancini. And be sure to pick up a copy of her new book, Raising Kids to Follow Christ, Instilling a Lifelong Trust in God. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless. Beloved, let me introduce you to my King. He is altogether lovely. No matter which way you turn him, he is perfection personified. He is velvet and steel. He is meekness and majesty. He is glory and humility. He is kindness and strength. He is altogether lovely, and he is my King, and he can be yours as well. All day long, he holds his hand that you might take, that you might turn one step, one grasp, one yes, one breath away from the arms of your loving Savior. Beloved, if you hear him calling today, do not harden your heart. The Bible declares that not one of us is guaranteed another moment upon this earth. So pray this prayer with me today and run into the arms of the one who loves you, who knows you best. Father, I ask you to forgive me for all of my sin, for all of the places that I have fallen short, God, of your glorious standard. I ask you now to send your Son into my heart, to be the forgiveness of my sin, to be my redemption, to be my righteousness, to be my holiness, to be my sanctification. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, to fill me with your Spirit, your power, your glory, that I might bring glory to your name, Father. I thank you that I receive all of this by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself up for me. I thank you that I am now a child of God, fully forgiven, fully righteous, fully holy in your eyes. And I ask you to help me walk out this life in a way that pleases and honors you, Father. I thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. I thank you for your love, for your kindness, for your great joy in saving me. And I thank you, Father, and I thank you, Holy Spirit. And I pray all of these things in your beautiful Son's name. Amen. If you've just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to congratulate you. You are now a child of God, and all things are now yours. Keep listening to Revealing Jesus. Find a good Bible translation that makes sense to you, and keep hearing about our beautiful Savior Jesus. Please let us know. We want to continue to pray for you, and we want to send you a free PDF copy of our new believer workbook. Just go to christinapereira.org/welcome-home. Enter your email address and we will be happy to send this free gift. And continue to pray for your journey. God bless. I sincerely hope and pray today's episode has blessed you. Now it's your turn to continue the conversation. We are all evangelists of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like this episode, rate it, share it with a friend. If it's impacted your life, let them know that you want it to do the same in theirs. Help spread the word of the good news of Jesus. Subscribe to the mailing list and get episodes, articles, downloads, and more sent right to you. Link in show notes or just text Jesus to 1-833-815-7778. Again, that's Jesus, 1-833-815-7778.
815-777-8. We would love to connect with you on social media. You can find us at Christina Pereira Ministries on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless.